All right, well, it is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to everyone. What do you think happens when we get closer to Christ? Peace, that's good. Yeah, and comfort. Yeah, we get further from the world. All of these things are true. And you know, there's never one definitive study. There's never one definitive lesson that we can do, because there's always something else to learn about Christ. And as we all endeavor to grow and to become stronger, there are things that sometimes we don't see. And then there's things that we sometimes will become discouraged if we see. And I think that one of the things that God is not into discouragement. The devil is. God is into edification. He's into learning. And some of the lessons that we learn are hard ones. They're just not easy for us to understand. They're not easy for us to place. You see? So, one of the things that happens when we get closer to Christ is, I think there's three mindsets that I looked at as they get closer to Christ. I wanted to start with the ones who hated Him, because they'll come close to Christ one day. These are people that don't care anything about Him. They're not trying to further His kingdom. They're not trying to stop His kingdom. Some are, but they just don't care one way or the other. And so how do you think they feel when they come close? How do you think they feel or are going to feel when they come close to Christ? Well, there's their opinion on what it is, and then there's what the Word of God says will happen. Matthew 8:29, "And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" Well, when these people came before Christ, they didn't get up in His face. They clearly told us here that they didn't care for Him being there. But you know, one of the things that they said they did, they fell at His feet. You can see in various instances where you see that they fell down and worshiped Him, saying, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time?" See, one of the things that has happened and will happen to people that do not care anything about Christ, as they come closer to Christ, these people will fall down at His feet. Because He is God. He is the King above all kings. And you say, "Well, that's just what the Bible says." Well, you know what? I challenge you to find an idea of who Jesus is in depth without reading the Bible. And so if we believe the context of Jesus, that He was the Son of God, or that He was a man that died on the cross, and I will see Him one day, but I'll spit in His face, and I'd rather serve in hell than rule in heaven, you know, those kind of ideas. Well, if we believe at all in the idea of Jesus, it came from Scripture. So if we believed in the Jesus from Scripture, shouldn't we believe the things that Scripture says will happen when we come in contact with this person? He is real. These are people that hate Him. These are people who don't care about Him. These are people that are sleeping this morning. They give no thought to Him. These are people that when you bring it up, they don't want to hear about this Jesus stuff. They don't want to hear about God. They would rather worship the spaghetti God in the sky. They don't have any thought for Him whatsoever. And the Bible says that this Jesus, whom the Bible teaches about, that you're referring to, says that you one day will fall at His feet. And you hate Him, but you will fall at His feet one day. But this is a spiritual picture, and it might be hard to wrap our minds around it. So let's take a look at something in the physical. Because in this Matthew passage, this was the account where Jesus took the spirits out of this possessed man, and they begged Him to go into a herd of pigs, and then I think it was pigs, and then they jumped off the cliff because they went mad. I mean, it doesn't make any sense why you would hate the Son of God. So madness would ensue in the animals where the demons were because nothing they do makes any sense. It's just ignorance. Why would pigs jump off the cliff? Why would the demons beg to be put into the pigs to jump off the cliff? Why would they do that? The whole point was is that Jesus was in control here. But that's a spiritual thing. So let's look at the physical. Matthew 27, 19, the Bible says, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife said to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. Here was someone that, I don't know if they hated Jesus. He was just a kind of a thorn in their side. Didn't really see anything wrong with him. Just wanted the Jews to leave them alone and stop bringing Rome into Jewish issues and just deal with this man. They just didn't want to be bothered by Jesus, right? This was not really somebody that hated. This was somebody that just simply just didn't want to be bothered by Jesus. And I think the world at large just doesn't want to be bothered. But here's someone that when they come in contact with this man, in the physical, because she was around him, she was near him, her husband had control on whether if he lived or died. Now he looked at Pontius Pilate and told him that he would have no authority over him had it not come from heaven. But still the authority was given to him to decide whether he lived or died, right? And in the physical, when they came close to this man, people who didn't really give him much of a thought, didn't really just considered him just whatever, just in the way, we see that fear, dread, and impending doom came upon them. See, and when I ask you all these questions, what do you think happens when we come in contact with a living God, when we get closer, as we grow closer to Christ? Nobody said any of these things. Now, let me ask you, do you think it's right that these feelings should come upon these people who got close to Christ, that they should fear, they should feel fear, dread, impending doom? Right? Do you think that the reason that this is okay is because the reason these feelings came upon them is because they God wanted them to come out of this. This is not how you should feel when you come close to a living God. This is not how you should feel when you get closer to Christ. This is showing you something is wrong. If you're going to a family's house for Thanksgiving, that should be a wonderful time, man. You can't wait to get there. You see people you haven't seen in a long time. And the food, man. Gosh, the butter rolls and dipping in the gravy and just just the calories that are there and the grease and the sweets. It's just ecstasy, right? Anything you could possibly want, the taste, it all meld together. You should be excited about that. You shouldn't be going to someone's house and feel dread and doom that you have to meet someone there. So if you feel this way, and people do feel this way about Christ, right? That there's something wrong. God's trying to show you these things. So it's okay that these things happen. But they're happening for a reason. Now, these are people that hated him. These are people that just didn't... He was really of no value in their minds. Now let's look at the people who think they know him but don't. Matthew 7, 22 through 23. Now many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Right? These are people who thought they had a relationship with the Lord. They prayed in His name. They prophesied in His name. They worked wonders in His name. They did all these things thinking they had a relationship with Jesus. But in the end, Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. How do you think these people would feel? They tried to act as one of the forgiven, but they are not. So these people grew close to Christ, and they told Christ about all the things that He had done for them. Now, if you notice in retrospect, the forgiven, when they'd done things, They asked, when did we do those things? Do you see, these people told Christ what they did. But these people, but the forgiven, the true forgiven, he says, when did we see you in prison? When did this happen? When? But those that weren't forgiven, they had to rely on themselves. So when Jesus came to them, it made them defensive. Because people are going to tell you all the things you do when they're fighting for your life. Don't hurt me. I have a child. I have a wife. I have a sick mother. Blah, 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 right? Those things make you defensive and they come out. But when you've been forgiven by Christ and you've actually come close to a living God in a right relationship, you don't feel these things. It's Matthew 25:41. Then he will say also to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The sad reality is they will be cast into the fire with those who hated him. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you here? Those that think they have a relationship with God, those that spend their time trying to do Jesus stuff, that try to reach out to people in prison because it says that you came to me in prison. Those people know that they came to him in prison. And so when Jesus asked them, and he says, when they stand before him, they'll say, well, didn't we go to you in prison? That's what you wanted. But the forgiven looked at him and said, when did we come see you in prison? Look, you want to help people out that are in prison, that have fallen to a place in their life maybe where they can admit that they need to make a change because they find themselves in prison? You'll find a lot of people there that would help. But you know what? You find just as many people on the outside. You don't have to be in prison to come to a place where you realize that I need help and that I've done wrong and I'm not progressing on my way. This happens. When you come in contact and you get in the area of Jesus, you start feeling things. You start feeling uncomfortable. You start feeling funny. Right? See? This is how I wear my shirt when I go out. Right? This is what I like. This is what I feel comfortable with. Wife hates it. Don't do that here. She wants me to button it up to here. I feel like I can't breathe. I can, but you understand? My point is that when we come into church, we feel like God is watching us. Right? He is always watching us. But that's the whole point. See, people who don't care about Him don't care that He's watching, but they will one day. People who think they have a relationship with Him, they'll find out that they only cared He was watching when we were here. They're not thinking about Jesus when they're out here. That's what He said. The doctrine was Jesus and doing things that God had asked. So they had their doctrine maybe okay, but their life certainly didn't back up their doctrine because He said, I never knew you. He says, you profess one thing, but you're doing another. All these things become evident when we get close to God. And let me tell you something. As a Christian, isn't that what we want to do, is get closer to God? So what do you think is going to happen as you get closer to God? Now, all the things that you said starting off this morning, when I asked you, they're all correct. But the devil will use these feelings, some of these feelings, where you feel uncomfortable in the presence of God, you feel like something's wrong. The devil will use these feelings against you, but understand that God is teaching you. God is showing you. You're getting close to me. What do you think is going to happen when you get close to Him? What's going to come out, become evident around you? Revelation 1:17, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as if dead. But He laid His right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. John walked with Jesus, but when he saw the resurrected Christ and he came into the presence of the God that he served, he says, I fell at His feet as if dead. Why do you think He did that? I mean, here was somebody, if you want to have proof that somebody was serving God, somebody that should have felt, you know, that love from Christ, and they came this close to Christ, seeing the resurrected Christ, why would they fall at His feet as if dead? What's the problem here? there shouldn't be any fear or dread that came upon John. He was certainly a servant of Christ. But we feel this way sometimes. He felt this way. Why? That's one answer. Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Do you see what happens when we become, when we see and get close to Christ? I'm talking about really get close to Christ. You see, when we see Jesus, we see how sinful we are, and we become convicted of our sin. And this applies to everyone. This applies to those that hate Him, those that don't think about Him as anything relevant. This applies to those that think they have a relationship with Him, that they're playing a game, that they're worshiping God on Sunday mornings, but that's about the extent of that, and they don't go any further. Even those that are lied to about who Christ is, and those who are actually serving God. This applies to everyone. Everyone. When we get close to Christ, we begin to see how sinful we are. And the devil will use this against you. Do you know that there were some people that I've seen with my own eyes in worship that when the communion plate is passed, they don't feel worthy to take of the communion? You know what? And so they don't. They don't take of it. You're not worthy to take of the communion. Do you understand that? Do you realize that you are the one that caused Christ to have to die? I'm the one that calls Christ. I'm not worthy to take that communion. That's how we should feel when the communion place is passed around. Because the fact that He offers it to us, we should be so thankful that He would give us a second thought. Right? That's how we should feel. We shouldn't feel like, you know, in thinking about that on the other side, when the person says, you know, I'm not worthy to take it. That means that when they do take it, they thought, yeah, give me that. I deserve this week. Really? Do you think people feel that way towards God? That they thought that you know what, Lord, I was so good this week that I was worthy of your death this week. That's what they're saying when they pass up the communion plate, that they're not worthy. That's how the devil uses this against them. You're not worthy to take it. God makes you worthy. Because when you come close to that blood, when you come close to Him, you realize that He is the one that forgiven you, and there's nothing you could have done. You feel your own helplessness. You feel your own sin. And you fall at His feet to worship Him that He would even give you a second thought. I think this is my last slide. Luke 7:6-8. Then Jesus went with them, and when He was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to Him, saying, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." This was a man who was in the armed forces of Rome. I mean, this was a guy that held some clout. He certainly had control over the Jews. If he wanted to do something, Rome would have backed him up. He didn't have to be reverent. Given his position, he didn't have to bow down to anyone. But he did. You see, he recognized the authority of Christ as a Gentile who was not allowed to come and worship God yet. I believe this is the centurion, that this is Cornelius. That's one of the reasons why we've done a lesson on it, and I think it's out there, but we've done a lesson on it, that centurion, that Cornelius, we see him through Scripture. He's not named. A certain centurion, Scripture points out that it was one man, a certain centurion, and I believe this was Cornelius. See, this man, this centurion here, he recognized the authority of Jesus, and he put the whole authority that Rome gave to him under the God of Israel. And even though he did not fall at his feet physically. He bowed down to this man and he said, I am not worthy that you should even come into my house. He says, you speak the word and it will be true. And Jesus was amazed because he said, the Jews think that they're worthy that I'm here. The Jews invite me into their house and don't think anything about it. They do it and question me and laugh at me and make fun of me and try to trip me up. But as soon as you see me, you recognize that you're not worthy of me. And so see, when we come in contact with the living God, we get closer to Jesus and we truly get closer to Him, we realize that we're not worthy of Him. Because of His mercy, because of all the things that have happened and we've been a part of. He brings this out in us because as we get closer, He shows us something. We should recognize His authority, yet many, when they see their sin, they turn away from Him. Because they're not willing to turn away from their sin, so they turn away from Him. And that's the honest truth. The closer that we get to Christ, the more that He is going to force us to make a decision. And people come to a place where they're not willing to make a decision anymore, and so they turn away from Him. Because they refuse to turn away from their sin. Revelation 20:12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. There is no one, those who hate Him, those who don't care, those who think nothing of Him, those that try to serve Him, those that do serve Him, and those that die for Him. They're all going to stand before Him. Every one of them. Every single one of them are going to encounter the living Christ. And so as we endeavor in this walk of ours to try to get closer to Jesus, understand what happens. We start seeing ourselves for who we really are. And you know what? That's an uncomfortable feeling. And it's even more uncomfortable when we don't want to change it for the sake of God and we walk away from Him. But some do. We will all see the same thing when we stand before God in this respect. It will be a life lived in the presence of Almighty God. Everyone is going to be at this place when they stand before Him. No matter what you feel about Him, no matter what you think about Him, no matter what you do or don't do, everyone will have lived a life in the presence of Almighty God, and they're going to answer for that. Matthew 11, 7-8, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, He said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Jesus said that when they went out to see John, they expected to see someone mighty. And you know what? They did. They did see someone mighty. Someone who had the Spirit of God, someone who was professing that Jesus was coming. He got to announce the King. They saw someone mighty. So, with this understanding here, that how people perceived John, and it wouldn't have been much different than how we would have perceived him. The guy looked crazy. His hair was all jacked up, and he wore funny clothes, and his diet was weird things, and his beard was probably all mad. He looked like somebody that should be somewhere because he needed help, right? That's what we would have thought. This guy needs help. You know, what you need a shower, first of all, and he just needed help. But God said he was a mighty man. He got to announce the coming of King Jesus. He was a trumpet being blown by God. So, understanding this, what do you think you're going to see when you come close to God? What do you think you're going to see? We saw John. We saw people who recognized Jesus' authority. They didn't feel like that they were worthy of it. Or people that said, you shouldn't be here because I'm a sinful man. We saw people that laughed at the Lord. We saw people that made fun of Him. But in the end, they will all stand before Him and answer for how they did and what they did. So what do you think you're going to see? See, the idea, really, people are not disappointed in what they see. They're not disappointed in Christ. Christ is the God that everybody was looking for. Christ is the power of forgiveness. He is a hand when you're down. He is a dry towel when you are wet. He is sun when you are cold. And He's a shelter when you're scared. He's everything that everybody wanted to be. They're not upset with Him. They're not disappointed in Him. But they're disappointed in what they see in themselves. And some people can't handle that, so they'll walk away. So as we get closer to God, and we get closer to Jesus, and we really get that relationship that we want, understand what we'll see. And what we'll see is someone that we want to make changes for. It shouldn't surprise us that we have to make changes. But when we really get close to Him, we should see someone that we want to make changes for. We should recognize the authority that He has over forgiveness, over putting up with things that we can't even fathom, dealing with things that happen all the time. And we watch people, and the reason they abandon ship is not because God has failed them, but they realize that they are failing God and they don't want to make a change. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he stood up, it would have been much easier for him to incorporate different words instead of the way that he made it plain. He told the Jews, he says, "You have crucified the Son of God. You've killed the one that has been promised to come and save you." And he said this wasn't about David and about a physical king like David, because even if we had a physical king as good as David or better than David, he would be dead and in the tomb. And you know what? Jesus died and went in that tomb, but He raised, showing that He was the king that David was waiting on. He was the king that Israel was waiting on, a king that could not be killed. And a king that when you came in His presence, you recognized Him as king. Whether if you cared, whether if you liked Him, whether if you wanted to know Him, when you came into His presence, He was the King, and you were going to recognize it. That day's coming. And so He told them, right here and there, let the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, this is where it should make a difference. I am doomed then. I'm doomed. And He said, God is willing to forgive you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His indwelling Holy Spirit. That was the promise. That was the way out that He gave everyone. And the people that took that opportunity, and they understand it, the authority that the apostles were given to offer that salvation, they would understand how Jesus told Peter that I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter used those keys to open the doorway into a paradise with God that would never end. A relationship with the Lord that would carry us to the new heaven and new earth. And people who see that, that's not really what they're looking for. Some people, that's not what they want. They want something more. They want what they want. They don't want what He wants. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?